Well, greetings and welcome into the CBMW podcast, your refuge from the sexual revolution and safe space from our culture's gender insanity. Trigger warning, you're not required to announce your pronouns before watching or listening to this program. I am Jonathan Swan, executive editor of ICON, a journal for biblical anthropology. I am joined alongside today by Colin Smothers, CBMW's executive director, and Denny Burke, CBMW's president. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, John.
I wanted to make sure you guys didn't announce your pronouns. I wanted to make sure we got right into the program.
Yeah, because that's always precedent on this show. We always are just leading with that foot. Our pronouns.
We got to cover our bases here.
My pronouns are, oh, captain, my captain.
Look at that. El Presidente.
I always wondered how that worked in the classroom, like a, you know, an elementary classroom or a middle school classroom. I mean, if I was in middle school and the pronoun craze was such that it was, why wouldn't my pronouns be something like Your Highness or, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it probably was actually for some kids and they had a great time with it.
Absolutely.
We'll have to wait to hear those stories. Hey, today we want to discuss a recent Substack article by Ryan Burge. Ryan Burge is a former pastor, but he's also right now a professor of practice at the Danforth Center on Religion and Politics at Washington University. In this article, he's looking at the trend of gender identity, specifically among young adults, although it's not limited to that. And we're going to talk about whether this is good news or bad news. But before we do, are you a last-minute Christmas shopper? Struggling to find the perfect gift for your theologically minded loved one? If so, look no further, because right now you can go online and give the gift of ICON, a journal for biblical anthropology, for just $25 a year. You can gift two print editions of ICON Spring and Fall, which is not only, I have one here, the most aesthetically pleasing print product in evangelicalism, but it's filled with biblical analysis of the most pressing issues of our day from some of the leading voices in evangelicalism. So, wherever you are right now, wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching, give the gift of ICON today by going to cbmw.org/journal. All right, got that paid advertisement out of the way. Now, Colin.
I have to say something, Jonathan.
Go ahead.
Journal
you're
cover,
the president. Say whatever you want.
The journal cover was not as aesthetically pleasing when you only see the edge of it.
Oh, here, hold on.
Not in full. There we go.
For
now that's very
listening,
pleasing.
We have the cover of ICON on the screen.
Fantastic.
Thank you for that, Denny. Colin, what is this current data indicating that Ryan was going over in his Substack?
Yeah, so if you are a regular listener, you probably are familiar with some of this because we covered it a couple months ago. But why are we revisiting it again? Because Ryan Burge, you know, he does a lot with sociological data, cultural trends, et cetera. He actually took a closer look at this data that we looked at, you know, a few months ago. That previous study was released by Eric Kaufman. And in that conversation, we were specifically talking about gender identity around college age students, along this survey by FIRE that was being analyzed. And the conclusion by Kaufman was, yeah, there's been a sharp enough, noticeable enough decline in transgender identity that it's, you know, noteworthy. We should be talking about it and maybe trying to figure out why that is. Well, Burge has since looked at in a completely different data set that was maybe published and or at least analyzed by this person, Gene Twinge. And this data comes from the Cooperative Election Study, which is a larger sample size and possibly even looking at a bigger field, not just college-age students, but, you know, across the board from, you know, older adults to younger adults to the rising generation. And the conclusion is the same. In fact, I think that's one of the reasons why Ryan Burge ended up looking at the data in the first place, because he had some questions. He wanted to figure out, you know, is this significant enough to be able to call it a trend or a genuine decline? And what he found is not only that it is, but it's possibly even more significant than Kaufman was originally talking about, because it's not just narrowly tailored to the college age students. In fact, I think one of the most significant findings, this isn't his top line summary, but one of the most significant findings that Burge highlights in this study or in this blog post is that the decline is not just in younger people identifying less frequently as transgender or non-binary, but you have adults. So adults in their 30s and their 40s, this sample size, that population has begun to tick down in terms of their identification with transgender identities, even possibly non-binary and other identifications. In other words, people genuinely are changing their minds on this subject, and that is a huge story if so.
Guys, Ryan points to 2020. Of course, he's pointing to the data that suggests 2020 is the high watermark. Maybe we have a couple of questions here. Why is that so? And what has led to this, you know, precipitous decline since that moment?
Well, you know, I think nobody can deny that 2020 was an inflection point in our culture. And it wasn't just for COVID. It was the whole George Floyd moment, which became, you know, everybody was falling all over themselves to become as woke and as DEI friendly as possible during that time. And yeah, it was definitely a thing that if you identified with one of these intersectional grievance groups, you know, in other words, if you categorized yourself within a disfavored race, disfavored sexual orientation, disfavored gender identity, disfavored sex, disfavored body size. I mean, you just go down the list of intersectional grievance, and that was like the peak popularity of it. That's when everybody, it was cool to be those things. And you were going to be, you know, there's another story being discussed this week in the news about how, you know, people getting jobs were out, you know, human resource departments were allocating jobs according to these identity characteristics. So it was definitely a peak moment. And it's no surprise that since 2020 that you would have seen a drop off. And in fact, Bird says that there seems to be kind of a snap back to the norm in terms of the actual statistics.
What do you guys think this says about the nature of transgenderism, that you can have these snapshots in time where there's a dramatic increase in these identities, but then for it to pretty quickly, within a couple of years, fall back down to what Burge calls a baseline? What does that tell us about the nature of transgenderism?
Well, fundamentally, the argument that the world was being sold on when transgenderism was being mainstreamed is that it is innate. It is innate to a person. In other words, there's something natural to this identity such that that is the cause, that is the reason why there's this gender dysphoric feeling, why there's this mismatch between how a person views themselves and their biological reality that is revealed in their bodies. And what this data tells us is not just that, as Abigail Schreier and others have pointed out, this ideology functions like a social contagion. In other words, if my friend group, if the people that I respect and look up to in the media culture are pushing this ideology, maybe themselves identifying this way, then I myself am going to adopt this ideology and framework, not looking at anything inside of myself, but really seeing this imposed from the outside onto me. Not only is transgenderism functioning like a social contagion, but also the reverse is happening. I think that's what's significant about this study. And one of the things that Burge does is he goes through and looks at different populations and kind of breaks out the data set, for instance, between Republicans who identify this way versus Democrats, or those who have a high school education versus those who have a college education. And everywhere you see, it's not just like you would think if it's something innate, then across the population, these stats would be the same, but that's not at all what you have. You have very ideologically driven identities going on in this transgender and non-binary population. And again, what we're seeing is, and this is one of the questions that Burge was trying to get at, is why, what changed between 2020 and today that you have this precipitous decline? And whatever that thing is, whatever that change in the culture, change in the ecosystem with the media or whatever, that thing itself also can function like a social contagion and reverse these ideologies. I think that is a fascinating thing that we're going to be studying for decades and decades to come.
Yeah, and I don't have any hard data on this, but just anecdotally, how powerful are all the detransitioner stories? They have really been, if for the listeners who don't know what I'm talking about, but detransitioners are those who have, inhabited some kind of transgender identity and even taken some measures to transform their body, either through hormones, maybe even surgeries. They've taken some measures to transform their body, maybe even lose some healthy body parts. And then they decide they made a mistake. And so the detransitioners, though, they have really been vocal online and have really been, leveraging things like YouTube and social media to put their stories, like them telling their stories online. And they're heartbreaking. They're really heartbreaking because you realize these folks, they make these changes to their bodies when they're a lot of them minor children, some of them young adults, but a lot of them minor children. And they're not undoable. You can't reverse it. And so when you see those stories, it I don't know how you look at that. It's just a normal, rational human being, even if you're not a Christian, and think, maybe it's not good to, remove the healthy functioning breasts of our 16-year-old daughter. It seems like suddenly you realize, wait a minute, this actually is harmful. And what's so fascinating, though, is that in 2017, 2018, 2019, definitely 2020, when you talk to people about this, they would say, pay attention to the science. Like, I just believe the science on transgenderism. And the whole time, we were saying this, but now I think people are starting to see it. There was no science. It was all ideology. It was a suppression of science. It was a suppression of the male-female binary in our gendered bodies, our sexed bodies. That's what was being, suppressed. And now I think just a lot of people are, so this, again, this is anecdotally, but you don't have to have a PhD in biology to understand what the difference between a male and female is. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have a PhD in biology to understand, I don't want to, destroy any part of my child's body, and I'm not going to be a party to this. And so I think that there's that kind of common sense thing working, which is another way of saying the natural law finds a way. People can see design and creation, and whenever they perceive it to be harmful, sometimes there's a snapback to reality. So I'm thinking maybe some of that could be a part of this. It doesn't account for everything. It's not going to be a cure-all because there's lots of people totally willing to suppress the truth and unrighteousness and, go against what's rational and reasonable. But there, I think a lot of people have seen some of the social pathologies that go along with this.
Absolutely. Well, before we close up shop, Colin, do you have any final takeaways, what we should take away from this data, some of these trends? What are your thoughts?
I think it's just an idea that I continue to come back to, and that is, the Richard Weaver, ideas have consequences. And the ideas that are out there, the scriptures tell us we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And this is the fight that we've been trying to engage in here at CBMW. We recognize how harmful the ideologies can be in a very real, practical sense. That the things that people cook up in ivory towers, the things that people, are landing on in dark, back rooms, smoke-filled rooms, they find their way into everyday people's lives, in people's homes, and they ruin their lives. And I'm thinking not only about the testimonies of the detransitioners, but I think we have seen some courageous people who were dead wrong about this when it first came out. And then they started to look at the data a little closer, and then they've changed their minds and they've changed their advocacy. I'm thankful for those people. I think there's way too few of them. I mean, you guys all remember what it was like in 2020 and before, countering the transgender ideology. Yeah. And just the vitriol and the hatred that was coming at individuals like us, and we weren't the only ones. But just saying common sense things, and people were looking at you like you had three eyes or two heads. But what we're seeing now is the overwhelming data is that they were wrong to oppose those that were telling the truth about transgenderism. And I think that what we'll continue to see is people maybe quietly walk back their stances in the 2018, 2019, 2020 eras. And I want people, and this is a call to anybody who's listening who said the wrong thing during those times, there's room for repentance. There's room for changing your mind. And you don't know how you're changing your mind and publicly admitting that will give courage to other people, maybe even people that are stuck in this very lie themselves still, to be able to say, you know what? I think they're right. I'm going to look at this closer and I want to pursue the truth. So that's what we want to do on this podcast. That's what we want to do at CBMW. We want to pursue and promote the truth, no matter what the trends are saying. Again, these trends are confirming our what we've been saying, but that's not why we're saying them, right? We're trying to say them because they're true. And that's what we want to continue to commit to.
Well, thank you, Denny and Colin, for your wisdom today. And thank you to our listeners. Once again, put ICON in someone's stocking, cbmw.org/journal. For everything else related to our ministry, visit cbmw.org.